Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I'm excited because we get to be in the house of the Lord this morning together as the church and the body of Jesus Christ. And so even if you guys don't come with me, I'm going somewhere today. Okay, I'm excited and y'all can sit there and stare at me. You can be quiet all you want. It's not going to change it. It's not going to make us get out of here any quicker. So you might as well just involve yourself this morning. Galatians 6, 6 through 10, Paul writes and says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Now, I wanted to leave this scripture out, but I have to even talk about the uncomfortable parts of scripture because it feels very weird as someone who teaches the word to sit here and tell people who are taught, hey, you need to share in all good things. But I believe that this is a part of the Word of God, and this is the culture of the kingdom that God has set up. And I want to say thank you, because I'm not going to sit here and go, you guys don't do that. Listen, I receive my full-time salary from this house. Because of the generosity that you give, my children have shoes on their feet. Because of the generosity, we eat dinner every single night. We eat breakfast every morning. We eat lunch every single day. We have clothes on our back. We have a house to live in. We have a car to drive because of this house. And people have asked me this before, and I just want to go ahead and say this. The Well Fort Payne receives $0 from the Well Scottsboro. We don't get any financial backing, assistance from any other place. Everything that we do here comes from here. My salary comes from here. We pay most of our staff. It's not full-time. It's probably not even considered part-time, but we do compensate our staff. We pay our utilities. We pay for the toilet paper. We pay for the paper towels. We pay for anything that you see. It's because of the generosity of this house. So I'm not here to come down on you. I'm here to pat you on the back and say thank you for being such a... Do you realize most churches our size could not afford the salary of a pastor? Most churches our size, not just that, they can't hardly keep the lights on. But we are able to do all of this, and I just want to say thank you. It's an honor. So, verse 7 is really where I want to get to. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows of his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Let's pray together. Father, as we look to your perfect word today, I pray for our eyes to be opened spiritually, our eyes to be open naturally to see what you're doing. I pray that our ears would be open to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I ask that we would apply your word in fullness in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Brandon, would you turn this up just a little bit for me? Because I don't want to yell too much. I want to continue our series today on kingdom principles. Now, we started this series last week, and we talked about the principle of worshiping God, and the way that we worship God should be done in spirit and in truth. We don't just want to have spirit, meaning we don't just want to have freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, where we're dancing and we're shouting and we're clapping, but we want to have truth. We want to be reverent towards God. We want to be rooted and grounded and structured in the truth and in good doctrine, that what we sing and the way that we worship God, it's not out of line alignment, but we don't want to just have that. We want to have freedom, and we want to have flow. And so we're going to worship God both in spirit and in truth, because God says that anyone that worships him, Jesus said, that's how they must worship God, not how they should, not how just, it's not just a preference. Jesus said, anyone, true worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want to remind you also something that I talked about last week, and I talked about it the Wednesday before, and I want to remind you today, and I'm going to continue continue to remind you, and I'm going to continue to talk about, is we want to have a lean-in culture. That means when the Word of God is being taught, we're going to lean in. We're not going to sit back and just go, oh, I hope he says some funny stuff today, or I hope he makes some good analogies, or he's got some good stories. But we're going to lean in and say, what is God saying to this house? Because the more you lean, the more you will learn. The more you say, all right, I'm going to listen. I'm going to engage. I'm going to be looking for how I can apply this to my life. I'm going to be taking notes of this. The more you do that, the more you'll get out of it. I believe that if you will lean into what God is saying, not what I'm saying, because I'm trying to just be a mouthpiece for God to say what he wants me to say. If you will lean in, you will leave here full. You ever left church and you're like, man, I just didn't get much out of that. You probably didn't put much into it. Because I believe that more than not, and we want to get so judgmental, all those preachers, they don't really, they're just about to get your money, or they're just in it for this, or they're just in it for that, or they just want you to listen to them. I believe that more people than not that preach the Word of God, their goal is to feed the sheep. I really believe more people don't buy into the false narrative that says ministers are just a bunch of greedy people, or they're just a bunch of selfish people. I believe that there's still a remnant. There's still a people. There's still men and women of God that they desire to speak on behalf of God to God's people. And so I'm saying but you can come in and they can have, the preacher can have the purest of intentions to give you, encourage you, lift you up, correct you by the Word of God. But if you don't lean into it, it won't do you any good. You can lean going, I just didn't get anything out of it because you didn't put anything into it. So I encourage you, listen, engage, apply, notate. Now, we are going to assimilate the text that we read this morning in just a few moments. But before we do, I want to review, because last week we began discussing the kingdom of God, one of my favorite topics to talk about. In fact, the kingdom of God is in our mission statement. The very thing that God has told us and called us to accomplish in Fort Payne, Alabama, is advancing the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards man. And so I want to put that vision before you to realize everything that we do as the body of Christ, as the Well Fort Payne, should fit into that mission statement, right? So like, we're having summer hunger tonight. Why? Because we want to advance the kingdom of God by being passionate for God. Another word for passion is hunger, that we're hungry for God, but we're also compassionate towards people, that we don't forget the needy and the broken and the hurting and the people that need community. In fact, one of my favorite things was just yesterday. We got to play in the softball tournament. And I understand why you guys were maybe a little bit lethargic during praise and worship today, because you gave it all for God on the softball field yesterday. And we were not victorious. We played two games. We lost two games. But I think we had more fun than anybody else. I had so much fun playing softball. We're going to do it again next year. Maybe we'll have so many people, we can have two teams next year. But it was so much fun. Why? Because we were building community. And that's part of kingdom, is having community. And we as believers, we are in fact citizens living under the authority of our King, Jesus Christ. That means this. We live by his standards and not by the world's standards. Part of being a part of the kingdom is realizing there's a different standard as a kingdom citizen than maybe even just being an American citizen. Now, there are laws of the land, and I will not tell you to break those laws. Those laws are put in place, and they're needed. We need the laws of the land. We need to respect those. But I'm telling you, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, while in America, it is illegal to commit murder. Jesus said, in the kingdom, the standard is not physically killing someone. If you hate them in your heart, you have already murdered them inside. That is raising the bar. That's raising the standard. So you may think that, oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. But what does that mean? That means as a Christian, you live in the kingdom. And when you live in the kingdom, there's a higher standard than just being a good person. Good people don't murder people. Kingdom citizens don't hate people inside of their heart. You can be a good person according to the American culture, and you can hate somebody inside of your heart because you're not actually taking it out on them and killing them physically. But in the kingdom, God says, I've got a higher standard. Jesus also said, if you've heard it said that it's wrong to commit adultery, right? Nobody glorifies adultery. That's bad. Nobody likes a cheater, right? It's terrible to be unfaithful to your spouse or to your girlfriend or to your boyfriend, whatever. Unfaithfulness, you're not a good person if you're a cheater. You're not a good person if you commit infidelity. But Jesus said, if you lust after a person in your heart, you're already living in adultery. So in America, you can be a good person if you think it. In fact, I remember when I was just kind of getting into that age where I was kind of getting some interest in females, you know, and things were coming to life. I was about like 11 years old. And I remember a pastor told me one time, he said, you can look, just don't touch. Like that is accepted by some people.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay to lust after them and to think about them and to undress them in your mind, but just don't touch, just don't act upon it. No, Jesus said, if you've done it inside of your heart, you've already broken my standard that I have set, because Jesus didn't come to lower the bar, he came to raise the bar. So as kingdom citizens, we live by the standard of our king that he set, which is a high standard. And I refuse to be a person, I'll tell you this, in this church, we will not, by the grace of God, we will never lower the standard. We will never say that what God says in his word, oh, that's legalistic, that's unrealistic, there's no way that anyone could ever do that. I refuse to lower the standard. Having a high standard is not legalistic, it's kingdom. So it doesn't mean that I don't believe in grace. It doesn't mean that I refuse mercy. It doesn't mean that I will not walk in forgiveness. It doesn't mean that I don't see God as a loving and kind and compassionate and merciful and gracious Father who loves everybody. What it means is this: when I choose to live by the kingdom standard, which is a higher standard, it means that I have a deep understanding of the fact that apart from his wonderful grace,
yeah,
I could not fulfill his standard.
That's
okay, so some people would say having high standards means you don't understand grace. No, having high standards means I understand that without grace, I can never meet the standard. That's why it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and, say it with me, fall short of the glory of God. Now, some people say all have sinned and have fallen short. That's not what the Bible says. You go read Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short. That means it's a continual falling short. Just because you get saved, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you measure up to the, you're still in your body, you will never measure up. That's why it goes on to say, it says Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, comma, not period. Verse 24 says, and are freely justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is what lifts you to the standard that God calls you to live at. So you may say, well, I don't know about those kingdom standards. Don't worry, there's grace for that. Okay? Grace is what levels you up to be able to live at the standard, because on your own, you will always fall short. On my own, I will always fall short. I can perform the law to a T. Don't touch, don't taste, don't eat, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. But if I do not have grace, I will never meet the standard that God set for his kingdom. And so that's exactly what his kingdom principles are. His kingdom principles are his standard. So when we talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, God says my standard for worship is spirit and it's truth. That's my principle. That's my standard. That's how I want you to live and to operate and to be. So I want to remind you of what a principle is. A principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. Now, when you choose to live in the kingdom of God, you are submitting yourself to a new way of living.
Yeah.
Not just going to church, not just saying I prayed a prayer and so therefore I'm saved. When you choose to live in the kingdom, you're submitting yourself to the standard of the kingdom. And you are saying, I will adhere to, I will uphold these principles, these fundamental truths. Just like the United States of America, we have a constitution, right? That constitution is saying, these are our standards. Well, the kingdom has standards too. And so when we choose to live in the kingdom, we're submitting ourselves to a new way of living. What we're saying is, I want a better way. I understand that on my own, I can't do it. I'll never measure up. I'll never get to that standard. So I want a better way. And I want what God says to be the foundation of my belief system that triggers my chain of reasoning. Because put that definition of principle. Oh, it's already up there. Thank you, Marla. A fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. So when I live by the principles of God, what I'm saying is my definition of truth goes out of the window and I'm adopting your definition of truth. I'm staying and I'm living by your principle, your fundamental proposition that serves as the foundation for my system of belief, but also for my chain of reasoning. Now, we are living in the wildest of times, and if we lived 50 years ago, we would have said the same thing, okay? So many times we're living in crazy times. Guess what? They were back then too. They were crazy to them. They're crazy to us now, and in 20 years or until the Lord tarries, they will still be saying it's crazy times. But we really are facing some difficult challenges. Just look, I mean, everywhere that you turn, everywhere that you go, what are you hearing about right now? The Olympics. If it's not one thing, it's another thing, right? And I'm not about to get political on you guys. I want to show you this. The problem that I've seen with so many people with the Olympics is they are basing it off of their chain of reasoning. You guys don't want to hear this because you guys are too conservative and you guys have already shared stuff and you're worried, did Spencer see what I shared? And is he coming after me personally? I'm not. I love you. I just want you to understand this. As kingdom people, our chain of reasoning should never be from our own vindicative state of mind. We have to look at everything from a kingdom perspective. I can't believe they let that man fight that woman. I understand that. And as long as we follow kingdom reasoning and we're not just operating out of hatred, out of bigotry, or out of frustration, that's okay. Because I don't believe that a man should fight a woman either. Right. What I'm saying is make sure that you're not just jumping on the wagon train of what everybody else that voted for Trump or is going to vote for Trump is saying, but make sure that you are asking yourself, what is the kingdom response to this situation? Pastor Lauren and I were having breakfast the other day, and we were talking about the whole Last Supper debacle that took place at the opening of the Olympics. And here's my thing, is so many people have boycotted the Olympics. I'm not watching it, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched any of it, but it's mostly because I've been busy. I have to think of it this way as well. What about the believers in Jesus Christ that are over there representing our country? They're trying to walk out their faith, and we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater because some idiotic person decided to put some stupid thing in the opening ceremony. And I understand that we can't have fellowship with darkness. What I'm saying is this, always walk in wisdom. Have a kingdom perspective. Don't just jump on what everybody else is saying. And you're like, I can't even believe that he's saying this right now. The reality is sometimes we can get so narrow-minded and so malicious and so hateful. And really what it all boils down to is so judgmental. You know why? You know why we become judgmental? Because if I put judgment on you, I think you can't put any on me. I'm like, it's the old watch the hand trick. If I can make you feel bad about what you're doing, maybe you won't notice the wrong that I'm doing. Jesus put it this way. He said, if your brother has a speck in his eye, make sure you deal with the log in your eye before you start go and digging around in his eye. So make sure, remember when the woman was caught in adultery and they were going to stone her? And what did Jesus say? He said, if you don't have any sin, you go ahead and throw all the rocks you want. Here's what I see a lot today. A lot of stone throwing. I'm not saying we don't stand up for what's right. I am not saying that. But you better make sure that your heart is right before you post it. Right. You better make sure that your heart is right before you say it, before you speak out against it. Because he said, if you don't have any sin, go ahead, throw a stone. The only one that was qualified to throw a stone didn't even have one in his hand, and that was Jesus. He said, woman, does anybody condemn you? I'm so sick of people that claim that there's therefore no condemnation in their life, so they want to put condemnation on everybody else's life. Yeah. That's not kingdom. That's called religion. That's called the old covenant. That's called living by man's standards instead of by God's standards. Let's be people that go, you know what? I want my chain of reasoning to come from kingdom principles. From kingdom principles. That means a kingdom principle, we may talk about this later. A kingdom principle, Pastor Tanner, is this, that when they strike you on your cheek, turn to them the other cheek. When they persecute you and they ridicule you, pray for them. Bless them. That's what God told us to do. Yeah. That's the change. But you know what? They do. People do something we don't like, and we just want to get mad, and we want to get offended, and we want to get bitter, and that's not kingdom principle.
That's right.
That's not the way of life that God prescribed for us to live in. I want my chain of reasoning to be, if they hurt me, I don't have to turn around and hurt them back. If they hurt me, I forgive them. I'll bless them. I'll pray for them. I'll make sure that I am never going to be that person by the grace of God that speaks evil of somebody else just because they spoke evil of me. But we think that one justifies the other. Well, because they were rude to me, I can turn around and be rude to them. Then you're not living in the kingdom principles.
Yeah.
Kingdom principles is doing unto others as they would do, as you would want them. Not as they do to you, but as you want them to do. If you want them to be hateful and malicious and rude and bitter and you know, talking bad about you, then that ties into what we're talking about today. You sow that, that's what you're going to reap. But we're supposed to treat people as we want them to treat us. So that means that I don't just adopt the world's view concerning everything. Now, you may think, where does Spencer sit on the boxing thing that took place? I sit on God's side. That's where I sit. I'm where whatever position God takes, whatever position the kingdom of God would take, that's what I'm going to take. So I don't just adopt the world's view, and I'm not going to defend one side or the other because only God knows the truth. Because do you realize that there's pretty much, now there's two camps out there. And again, I said I wasn't going to get political, but the reality is it's going on in our life, and you're probably wondering about it, and you're probably not going to focus on anything else I say until I explain myself on this. So you've got a group of people that now say this is a woman with XY chromosomes. Then you have a group of people that say, no, this is a transgender. The reality is, no one knows for sure. Only God knows the truth. They can show me all they want. Listen, we've been lied to so much that it's hard to believe anything anybody says. So you may say, man, I wonder why Spencer didn't speak up or post anything about that, because I don't know, and I'm not going to speak into something that I don't know the full truth about, okay? I'm not judging you if you did say something. What I'm saying is you don't know what that person is. You don't know if they are transgender. You don't know if they are a woman with XY chromosomes. You don't know what they are, so why are you posting about it, okay? Anyways, I'm off my soapbox. I'm moving on. You want to know, does Spencer stand with the Republicans or the Democrats? I would say neither. I'm going to vote according to my morals. I'm going to pray about who to vote for, and I am going to vote. But I'm not standing with the Republicans or Democrats. Why? Because I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the kingdom of God. Now, I believe there's a right way to vote, and I'm not going to advocate for things that I think are unrighteous or unholy, but I'm a follower of Christ before I'm a follower of the Republican Party. I'm a member of the kingdom of God, and it's the greatest kingdom that ever has existed. It's the greatest kingdom that ever will exist. Listen, Rome rose and Rome fell. Okay? The Byzantine Empire, which was the eastern, I believe, side of the Roman Empire that continued and became great again, it rose and then it fell. Okay? The Mongol Empire, it rose and it fell. Napoleon Bonaparte rose and fell. The British Empire rose and ruled almost all of the world, and then it fell. Nazi Germany rose and then it fell. But you know what? From 2,000 years ago until right now, the only kingdom that has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger day by day is the kingdom of God. And that's the kingdom that you and I are citizens in. And a centralized part of that kingdom is the church of Jesus Christ. So many people out there today say, I'm a part of the kingdom. I don't have to go to church. Then you don't understand the kingdom. Because at the central point of the kingdom of God is an entity that Jesus ordained and planted the church. Let me remind you of this. For anybody that maybe some false teacher or some idiot has gotten in your ear, somebody you've been listening to on YouTube, and they'll tell you, you don't need to be a part of a church. You're just a part of the kingdom of God. The church is not a building. Let me remind you that church was never man's idea.
That's right.
It was always God's idea. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose. Jesus looked at Peter in Matthew, the 16th chapter in the 18th verse. He said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Not man's church, not the Wells church, not T.D. Jakes' church, not Jensen Franklin's church, not Stephen Furtick's church, not Michael Todd's church, not whoever you want to put in that category, these famous people that hopefully they're serving God, but what I'm saying is it's not their church, it's his church. And he said the centralized thing of his kingdom was going to be, I will build my church, and he gave us a promise. The gates of hell itself cannot prevail against it. I want to share the definition of that word prevail with you. The definition of the word prevail is to have the upper hand. Can you put that slide? I think I put it in there, Marla, of the definition of the word prevail. If I didn't, it's okay. I've got it right here in my notes. Maybe I put it later. No, I didn't. I didn't put it in there? Okay, my bad. The definition of the word prevail is to have the upper hand, but it also, now I'm all out because I was looking for it. Give me one second. There we go. It means to overpower or to have the upper hand or to get the upper hand. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to build a church with you, man. And the gates of hell will never overpower it. Didn't say they won't come against it. He said they won't overpower it. He said they will never get the other upper hand. So what does that mean on our side? Because we're not on the gates of hell side. We're on the kingdom side. You know what that means? That means we always have the upper hand. We might not have been victorious on the softball field yesterday, but we are victorious in Christ Jesus, and we have the upper hand. We have more power than the enemy ever dreamed of happening. And this is the same Peter that some 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he would stand up in front of God, in front of people, and he would declare to them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you may say, why did God tell Peter that he would build his church on him? Because it was Peter that stood up on the birth of the church on Pentecost and spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Pentecost was being poured out, and God built his church and ordained his church that day. And so the kingdom of God, because we're centralized in the church, we'll always be victorious. We'll always have the other hand. And as citizens of the kingdom, we live by the principles of the kingdom. Now, here's one thing I want to share. You guys are wondering, is he ever going to talk about sowing and reaping? Eventually, we'll see. We might have to do it next week. I don't know. I told y'all, I like talking about the kingdom. Because it's kind of like this. You ever been traveling? I remember we were in Savannah, Georgia one time. And anybody ever been to Savannah? It's a cool little place. And, it's bigger than here. But they got all these little shops, you know, candy shops and stuff. And we were in one of these little caramel stores or something. I don't know what we were getting. I think we were getting caramel corn or something. I don't know. And I saw this guy a couple people up from me in line, and he had on a shirt that it was a UAB shirt. And so I was like, oh, sweet, that guy's probably goes to UAB, he's probably from Alabama. So like, I make my way up there. I'm like, hey man, are you from Alabama? And I don't know why, but if I see anyone from Alabama and I'm out of town, I'm going to go talk to them. If I'm at the beach and I see an Alabama license plate, they get out of their car, I'm that weird guy that's going to go over there and be like, hey, y'all from Alabama? They're going to be like, obviously, we're from Alabama. And why are you bothering me on my vacation? Like, I don't know. I just like to be a menace. I like to talk to people. But so I go up to this guy with a UAB shirt. I'm like, hey, man, you from Alabama? He's like, yeah. I'm like, where are you from? He's like, Sylacauga. I'm like, no way. My wife's from Sylacauga. And turns out you knew his brother or something, or I can't remember. Anyways, but have you guys ever done that? Like, you're on vacation, you're out of town, and you see someone from where you're from, and you're just like, I wonder where they live in, you know, that state or whatever. That's kind of with the kingdom. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we begin to have a culture of the kingdom, and you're excited because you're like, oh, you're a citizen of the kingdom? No way, me too. And you begin to have this connection point. So it's called kingdom connections. But kingdom principles is what I want to talk to you about. Oh, that's what I was saying. Yeah, I love to talk about the kingdom because you guys are kingdom people, and so that's why I like talking to you guys about the kingdom. Anyways, my next point. Kingdom principles unlock kingdom potential. God has given every single man, woman, and child, according to the scripture, a gift. Go read 1 Peter. He's given to each one a gift. Now, God has given to every single person faith and a gift, okay? So if you think I'm not gifted, here's probably why. Because until you get locked into kingdom principles, you will never tap into your kingdom potential. And some people have potential inside of them, potential to lead, potential to sing, potential to build, potential to do all kinds of crazy stuff. But until you tap into the kingdom principles, you will not unlock the kingdom potential that is in your life. I think about people like myself, Pastor Madison, Pastor Tanner. We went through a program that is now called J38. And until, in fact, Hannah and Maddie have gone through that. Keely Berninger has gone through it. There's other, I don't want to miss anybody, but you know, these guys here on the second row, Hannah and Maddie, just wave at everybody. I'm going to make you guys feel uncomfortable. Everybody stare at them, make them feel real uncomfortable. They're in J38 or going into School of Ministry. And part of what happens in J38 or in School of Ministry is you get surrounded by kingdom. And as you're in kingdom and you're being taught kingdom principles, it begins to unlock kingdom potential. And you realize, I have a call to be a missionary. I have a call to be a mother. I have a call to be a pastor. I have a call to be a business owner. Because as you begin to understand the principles of God's kingdom, it unlocks the potential that he put in you before you were even born. If you go over to the book of Romans, chapter 12, you will find that there are gifts that are listed that you have and you can operate in whether you get saved or not. Yeah. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are reserved for bona fide Christians that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the gifts that God gives to everybody, some of them are administration or mercy. It's like Miss Lisa, I'm going to pick on her for a second. She loves ugly, pitiful dogs. She does. She can't say no to him. Yeah. I'm like, that's the ugliest thing that I have ever seen in my entire life. And she's like, but it needs a home. And she'll take it home. She's got a dog right now. What's that ugly dog's name? Puka. The dog is as ugly as its name. Okay? Puka. But Mumu loves that dog. You know why? Because Mumu has a compassion gift. She has a mercy gift that I don't have. I look at that dog and I'm like, what a waste of space. She looks at it and she goes, it needs a home. It needs to be loved. Guess what? It's not that I'm right, she's wrong. She's right and I'm wrong. It's this. It's that she has a gift for that in her life that I don't have, that God gave to her. But when we can have those gifts, but we will never reach the fullness of their potential because God ordained for those gifts to be used at their fullest potential in his kingdom. So when we get in the kingdom, we unlock those potentials, the potential that God has put in every single one of us. So let's talk about this principle, sowing and reaping. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Galatia, which we read from our text earlier, Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. But I want you to get a broad perspective of what he's saying in this letter. So Paul is writing to the church that is there in Galatia, and it's a reprimand. If you read the whole letter, it's Paul spanking the Galatians through words, okay? He is telling them, look, you guys began in faith and you're trying to now perfect it by the flesh. It does not work that way. You cannot perfect in the spirit through the flesh. What started in the spirit and started in faith, you will never perfect it by the flesh. So he's writing to pretty much set things in order and be like, look, you guys have it all wrong. Here's the right way to do it. Now, here's the thing. He planted that church on his first missionary journey. We know that Paul took 3 missionary journeys. And did you know that Galatia is one of the places that Paul went on every single missionary journey? 1, 2, and 3. He went there every single time. This letter was written sometimes between his second and his third missionary journey. Okay, so he's already been there 2 times. So he knows all these people. And he knows them very well. He has a relationship with them. And so he's writing to them and he pins this letter to right the ship, so to speak. And in the 6th chapter, he gives us this all important principle. And he says, listen, guys, people that I love, people that I know, people that I've pastored, some of these people, Paul probably led to the Lord. He considers them children in the faith. He says, do not be deceived, y'all. I don't want you to be misled. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Now, I find it interesting that Paul starts this verse with a warning. He does not just say, whatever you sow, that shall you reap. He starts with saying, don't be deceived. That word deceived means cause to wander. Because you see, they were already wandering into other things. That's the whole point of the letter. He's saying you have to come back to the centralized principle in truth. Do not wander. Do not be misled. Do not be deceived. God will never be mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So here's what he's saying. Don't think for a second, church, that you will reap something contrary to what you sow. Don't think that that could be a reality in your life. So he's saying this. If you sow hatred and you sow in anger and you sow malice and you sow deceit and you sow greed and you sow selfishness and you sow pride, then don't be surprised when you reap the consequences of the very things that you've been planting into others. I've been having to remind Bethel over and over this week. Bethel's our 8-year-old, and now he can quote it with me. Bethel, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Every word that you speak is a seed that you're sowing into people, even if they don't hear it. Because life and death are in the power, not of what is heard, but what is spoken. Yeah. As I speak over my spouse, as I speak over my children, as I speak over this church, as I speak over coworkers, as I speak over friends, over parents, whoever it may be, I want to be a person that's planting seeds of faith. I want to speak love. I want to speak joy. I want to speak peace. I want to speak blessing. I want to speak health. I want to speak life over my family. I want to speak peace over my home. Instead of saying, I can't get any rest here. This is a terrible place. You guys are all crazy, right? Well, no wonder it continues to be crazy. But what we want to do is we get tricked into thinking that we're going to reap something contrary to what we're sowing. But as we continue to speak in anger and in malice and in selfishness and in pride and in foolishness and in hatred, then we just stay on that sick cycle of continuing to reap that. But as I begin to speak over my children life, and I speak peace over them, and I speak God's will over them, and I speak, you know, the word of God over them, then I'm going to begin to see that come into fruition in their life, in my spouse's life, in your business. Listen, declare over your business, or if you're not a business owner, over your job, declare, I'm blessed in this. Because God said you'll be blessed in your coming in, you'll be blessed in your going out. When I come into work, I'm blessed. When I leave work, I'm blessed. See if it doesn't change the entire perspective, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I know that so many people have taken this so far out of perspective. You know, name it, claim it, blab it and grab it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you the truth of the scripture, that you are either speaking life with your tongue or death with your tongue. And Paul warned us, don't wander off from this truth. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. You're going to have a harvest of it, and it's going to come back. Now, the good news is if you don't like what you're reaping, just simply change what you're sowing. Yeah. It's not the easiest switch to make, but you can do it. You can decide, I'm going to speak. In fact, I've done this before in my life. I'll take a screenshot of a note on my iPhone that just says speak life and put it on the background of my phone so that when I open my phone, I'm reminded every word that comes out of my mouth, I want it to be life. Over this church, over my family, over my home, over my finances. Speak over yourself. Sow into the Spirit. You know, and not just what you speak, but what you sow, what you give. We already talked a lot about finances earlier, but be a sower of seed. You can't reap if you're not sowing. Jesus said, if you cast your bread upon the water, not many days it will return to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over is how it's going to come back into your life. Listen, God blesses you to be a blessing. If there's any blessing in my life, financially, emotionally, spiritually, God gives that to me so that it can turn around and be a blessing to somebody else. It's never just for me to sit on it and hoard it up. Some people, your finances are locked up because you refuse to sow. And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm just talking about being generous in general. The Bible says that the world of the generous grows larger and larger. Some people think, well, I can't afford to give. But you don't realize that your lack of giving is actually what is causing your finances to stay bound. Yeah. If you will open up and give, in fact, I believe that we should live this way. We should live with an open hand and we should live with an open heart. God, whatever I have, it's yours. Because if my hand's open, it can both give and receive. But if my hand's closed, I can't receive and I cannot give. I'm supposed to be a conduit that God can move things through, not just get things to. And so as I live generously, I'm saying, God, you can bless me because I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be a blessing to someone else. Now listen, this is not about a dollar amount. We do not require you to give a certain amount to consistently come to this church. In fact, when was the last time you saw an usher pass a basket down the line and peek in to see what you gave? When was the last time one of the pastors on staff called you and said, we noticed you didn't give a full 10% this week? It won't happen. We're not doing that here. Like that's not what we're here for. We're here to speak into you. We're here to be in a place where you can give. And so we want to have a biblical understanding of the fact that, yes, I believe that tithing is a biblical principle. You may say it's an old covenant thing. I think it's a kingdom thing. That I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to give. But we don't call you on that. At the end of the year, when we give out giving statements, we don't make you prove that it's 10% of your income because that's not what we're here for. This is not a dictatorship. This is not, this is kingdom. You give what God puts on your heart to give. But I'm saying this, I want to be a sower because if I don't sow, I cannot reap.
Right.
He didn't say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You're going to reap a bountiful blessing. He said, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you sow. So I want to be a sower of seed because I cannot harvest what I am unwilling to plant. So here's what I've chosen. I am only going to put my seed in good ground.
Good.
And I believe that this house is good ground. I believe that the other areas that I give to in my life, I only give to good ground. I'm investing in the kingdom. You know why? Because I want a return on investment that transcends dollars and cents.
Yeah.
That's why I give to the kingdom. I don't just give to humanitarian causes. I give to the kingdom. If I'm going to give, there are tons of people out there that are feeding people. That's great. That's wonderful. I think it's good. But I'm giving my money to kingdom purposes that are trying to help feed people. Kingdom purposes that are trying to clothe people. Why? Because I want a return on investment that goes beyond dollars and cents. I want to see people changed by Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I want to see people getting saved. I want to see lives changed, souls redeemed. I want to give to the kingdom so that I can be a part of that, so that one day my master will say to me, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Now, I want to say we can get so locked into finances, and don't worry, I'm about to close. I'm about to wrap up. You can give beyond money. You can give time. You can give prayers. You can give energy. Maybe you say, I don't have money, but I have resources. I have talents. I have abilities. I have tools. I can come help plumb the bathroom. I can come help frame up walls. I can't give monetarily to it, but I can give some time. And in fact, if it wouldn't embarrass somebody so much and they didn't like it so much, I would point out someone that has given so much time this week to make a kingdom purpose happen in the back. And I could go down the line. I could probably call out at least somebody from almost every person in here that you have given more than just money. You've given time. You've given energy. You've given of your knowledge. And that is what it takes for the kingdom of God to be sustained. Is people saying, I'm going to come alongside kingdom purposes. I'm going to come, and as you give into the principle of I'm going to sow, guess what? Your life's going to be blessed for it. God's going to pour out back on you such a blessing that as we declare in the sower's blessing, there's not even going to be room enough for you to receive it. Could you imagine? Now, here's the deal. We all want there not room enough to receive it. Well, I wish that happened to my bank account. I wish that happened to my house. You have to go back to the principle. The principle is the giving. If you give, he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now in this. If I will not open up to you the windows of blessing and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, we want the room enough to receive it. Bring it, Lord. Bring the blessing. But he said, prove me in this. What? Bringing the tithe into the storehouse. You want the abundant blessings? Be willing to give the way that God instructs us to give. Live by his principles and you will reap his benefits and his blessings. So, our job is to remain faithful. Because if you can put that passage of scripture up one more time for me, please, Marla. Verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good. I just came to remind you today, if you've been giving, keep giving. If you've been serving, keep serving. If you're like, I haven't seen the benefit yet. I haven't seen the blessing yet. God hasn't returned it to me sevenfold yet. Do not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, here's the thing. If God gave you what you are asking for right now, you might blow it before you actually need it. Okay? Let me explain that. If God dumped blessing on you, but he knows exactly when you need it, and he may give it to you, and you'd use it, and then it comes around time that you need it, and you don't have it because you already used it, trust his timing. He'll get it to you when you need it, okay? That's why I'm not worried about these bathrooms, because when it comes time for them to be finished, we're going to have all the money that we need to finish them. Why? Because in due season, we're not going to lose heart. We're going to keep doing good, because in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me say this. This is God's economy, okay? God's economy is that as we have opportunity to help, we help, yeah. Right? Anybody, but especially people that are blood-bought, born-again Christians, they take priority. If I have to choose between helping a believer and an unbeliever, the Bible here tells me I should choose the believer. That's what it says. Now, you may say, well, how are they not going to be saved? Well, if you got time, go back and help them too. But the Bible says, especially those that are of the household of faith. Why? Because this is the way God set up his kingdom and his economy is that we would help share in the needs and the burdens of one another. I could not tell you how many times a kingdom brother or sister has blessed me with their time, with their talent, with their finances, with their ability, and it has saved me time and frustration and money, and hopefully I do the same for other people as well. So what I'm saying is I want to be a person that I'm always looking for the opportunity to sow. I'm not just looking for the reaping. Listen, the reaping will take care of itself if you take care of the sowing. I want to be looking, where can I sow? Where's good ground? So be a sower, so that you can be a reaper. Amen? Stand to your feet this morning. I want to remind you of summer hunger. And let me just say this. If you consider this home, this church home, summer hunger's for you. If you don't consider it home, summer hunger's for you. We do this for the Well Fort Payne, but we also do it for others. There's going to be other churches, other people that are joining us here. And listen, I would love nothing more than to see every single one of you here tonight. I'm asking you, if you have something on your schedule, I'm asking you, please try to make it at least one night this week. Please try to make it a priority. Not for me, for you. Because God is going to move. He's going to speak. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be awesome. And I don't want you to miss it. So please make it a priority to be here. It's going to be awesome. But I want to pray over you today regarding what we just spoke about of kingdom principles. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, I pray right now that we would lock in to kingdom principles so that you can unlock kingdom potential. Lord, I feel like there's so much locked up potential in this house today. There's so much more that people could be connecting to in the kingdom, God, not just financially, but in their giftings and their abilities. And God, I say before these people today, we want this to be a house where people can use their gifts. We're not intimidated by people being gifted and using God's call on their life to lead and to administrate and to have mercy and to flow and operate in the gifts that you give. And so, Father, I pray that we would truly grab hold of and apply these kingdom principles. And as you do, I believe that you're going to unlock kingdom potential in our life to be the most that you have called us to be. God, as Jesus told the parable of the sower, some reaped 30, some 60, some 100-fold. God, let this be a house that gets a 100-fold return because we're sowing and we are reaping in kingdom principles. And so, Father, I pray that you would just open the eyes of our understanding to see things from your perspective. God, we thank you that we get to be a citizen of your kingdom and we want to walk with you in truth all of our days. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you live in kingdom principles and walk in your kingdom potential. And as you sow, remember, do not be deceived, that shall you also reap. So sow good things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Hope to see you guys tonight.